So part of the reason I wanted to introduce the national directors, the global mission team, and play this video about Dave Pederson is so that you will see when we do missions, we're not doing it as just Americans going out, but we're doing it part as a global family. And we're cooperating with the Vineyard churches around the world. So it's not just about us. Now, having said that, one thing I want to say is that my presentation on missions partnership leader guidelines are what the U.S. is working on. It may not be the exact same thing. There'll be commonalities with other vineyards, but if you're talking with other partners from around the world, they may say, well, we're not being asked to do that. Just know this is a U.S. job description that will share some commonalities with other places. So, as we go through, I just want to read through. There's a one-page summary, and I'm grateful. I was with Fred Collum in Mazatlan, Mexico, had him review this, and he says, man, you've got like a three-page document. Could you just give me a one-page overview? And so I appreciate him doing this. This is available for download on our website that we showed you last night. So, and all of these PowerPoints are available, so just know they're available. That the purpose of Vineyard Mission Partnership Leader is to encourage church planting. Now, that's why we had last night Ray and Linda Noah, because our end goal is church planting in health in the nation or nations where they are working. The job description is intended to help partnership leaders plan, implement, inspire, and align with Vineyard missions. Healthy partnerships are connected with healthy local churches. You notice Dave Pederson said that. It all starts with a healthy local church. Partnership leaders commit to five core commitments of Vineyard missions, recruiting, and so we'll go through these in just a moment. I want to give the overview so when I get run off the stage, you will get that in all of this PowerPoints available for download, a Word document's available for download. So just if I go quickly, you'll know that you can go back and get this. When we talk about partnership leaders, here's what we ask that they do, that they recruit new churches responding to Vineyard. Okay, so I'm trying to do this in two places. Recruiting new churches and responding to Vineyard congregations, wanting to begin work in the region by connecting with the partnership. Supporting the work of indigenous churches and leaders in the country by proactively fostering relationships in person or online with leaders in countries and connecting them with available resources. Ensuring response to the request for help from individuals or churches who are in the country but who are not part of the Vineyard movement. Overseeing partnership budget, assuring clear and accurate financial accounting. 5, facilitating partnership meeting and members to discuss and implement vision and strategy goals. 6, regularly participating in this mission leaders meeting for training, support, connection. 7, connecting with your regional coordinators with a country update. 8, praying regularly for the leaders and churches and people groups within the nation. 9, working with other association of Vineyard churches. Again, that's one of the reasons we're introducing the folks. 10, working with strategic kingdom-minded organizations. That's why you see Petros and Convoy and Hisfeed. And again, I just want to say Hisfeed was another one of our sponsors. They actually sponsored all of our association people from our different associations to be able to come to this, and I'm very grateful for that. And partnership leaders to remain up to date with Vineyard missions, resources, and training. So, just, there's some things that I'm going to skip over, not because they're not important, but because you can download this, and there's some things I want to give a little bit of an emphasis on, and I don't want Jessica to, I'm trying to see if she has that sign up yet, to come up here. So I'm going to skip over this first section about the qualifications or the general maturity qualifications. And I'm going to go over here to what it means to be part of a healthy local church. So one of the challenges Jay gave me when I first came in is that he says, sometimes we try to do missions because it's easier than doing church in our local context. And we get more appreciated. You know, we go over to another nation and people think that we're wonderful and that we can't do anything wrong, and then we come back and we get criticized for everything that we do. But to be truly effective, we only can reproduce what we are in our own context. And so what we're really encouraging is that if you're a partnership leader, that ideally you would be a leader in a local vineyard church in the area of missions, and by that mean that you get to make decisions. It's not just for people who has a passion for missions, but they can't influence their local church. And that your local church sees people coming to know Christ in your local church context. You cannot see people come to know Christ in a cross-cultural context if we're not seeing it in our local church. And that in our case, at local churches, that you honor your commitment to Vineyard USA, if you're a part of a church, that you would honor your 3% commitment, which is the lowest percentage commitment of any of the AVCs around the world. And the Canadians, you know, if you have an extra 2% that you want to give up to the Canadians. But here's what I found. Vineyard churches need to get in their mind how to honor people financially, because you can't encourage people in other cultures to do things right financially if you're not doing it in your lone local church context. And here's the other thing, is that if you are leading missions, you need to be connected with the Vineyard structure. Be a part of our area meetings, our regional meetings, our national meetings. Because, again, we do things better together. And where we have the most success is when churches in an area in the U.S. are working together to go to another part. So a healthy partnership starts out of a healthy local church. So I just wanted to take some time just to spend down on that, because that's something we haven't talked about before. The second thing is to give you a big overview of our strategy. Now you'll see, like, Rich has his baseball jersey on. Now if you're not an American baseball person, don't understand the rules, this illustration may not make sense. And we'll help you. Rich will explain the intricate rules of American baseball. But basically, Vineyard is committed to five core commitments. Our first commitment is local church-based mission. And we have mission mobilizers that help you in your local church go where you're engaged in local church-based mission. And when we say local church-based mission, we're not saying you just give money to another organization. We're saying where you are engaged, where your church is active in mission. And our mission mobilizers help you do that. The second thing is building partnerships as a key strategy. That's like our second base. That's where Ross Naylor Tatterson helps people think about partnerships. That's even where we're thinking about some of these organizations that we're in relationship with. And then our end goal, or not one of our end goals, but one of our goals is if we are local church-based mission that's working in partnership, our goal is to help plant church planting movements. Now, when I say church planting movements, I'm not using the technical term. If you're a missiologist, there's certain technologies. We're saying you're investing in multiple local churches. I see that hands. Lord, please help her. Local church-based missions, ultimately, if we're not planting churches, there's going to be no sustainable effort. Give you a real-life example right now. When Russia started the war with Ukraine, which was a horrible thing, we had Vineyard churches both in Russia and in Ukraine. We were able to help the churches in Ukraine. All of our ability to help the churches in Russia was immediately shut off by the government without us having to jump through a lot of different hoops and be very careful that we're not breaking any international laws. But because we had churches that we had planted in Russia, they're still going on. Matter of fact, there is a Russian pastor retreat, a Vineyard Russian pastor retreat that's going to take place in Turkey over the summer. Now, they're still going on because we released churches. We weren't dependent completely on us. So it's important that we have that. And then we want to, and again, some of this language, Ron Joe is like our theology person. He challenges me. He said, okay, are you being colonial on this language? And I really do appreciate that. That what we're really doing is investing in and then recognizing or that we're affirming leadership that God's doing in the nations. And so those are some languages. They're not my language that I can't change because it's part of a co-global conversation, but I really appreciate we're trying to wrestle with these issues. And all of this has the context of Vineyard Values. And so we've got specialists that go through and help on those. We can give you that information there. And then just as we look through the responsibilities that are included, and again, I'm not going to be able to get through all of these on my time, even the first half of the job description. But what we want you to see is that, and we've got whole sessions where we're talking about these. So this whole conference was designed with this job description in mind, that the partnership leader is expected to reach out to churches who want to be involved in missions. In the past, Vineyard Missions has been very slow necessarily to respond to churches that wanted to get involved in nations. So we're trying to become much more aggressive in that. And we want to have at least 3 Vineyard USA churches involved in a partnership. The reality is if there's only 1 church involved in a nation, that's not a partnership. You can't be a partnership with yourself unless you're God. And he has 3 parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's one of the things. The other thing is that we want to support the work of indigenous churches and leaders by fostering relationship with them. And there's a variety of ways. Again, I would encourage you to talk to Edgar, talk to Rick about what are ways that are effective for you to communicate with people from other nations, ensuring that request. Now, this is one thing that we've started to do. Is that when people all the time email us asking for money, it's amazing how many people know that we are the anointed ones of God, that if we would just give them money, that the gospel would spread, that what we're trying to do is to say there are some legitimate emails, and then there's some that's just fishing for money. And so we've actually developed a thing for people that only want financial support. And we send this, thanks for reaching out. We get daily requests like this to partner with deserving organizations and individuals. Please understand that we cannot connect with all such requests. We have strategic gospel partnerships already in place in your region of the world. Therefore, I hope, that was my rooster that gave me a 1-minute warning. And then we have a response to those who may be potential partners. And then, see, I really do take this serious. Oh, guess what? I'm in my last minute, if this clicker would work. In a few moments, we're gonna break into discussion groups and we'll have these questions back up there for you. And we're gonna talk about that. And then we also have a list of resources that you can click on. They're like 5-minute videos where you can drill down some more on the core values. So here you go, Ray. I really appreciate Ray. He has got some of the great experiences in the Vineyard, and he's been an asset to Vineyard Missions and Vineyard Movement as a whole for many, many years. So thanks, Ray.
All right. Thank you. As I was praying for you for this meeting today, I realize that there are kind of like 3 kinds of people here. There are partnership leaders, and so some of you have already heard some of this stuff, but it's always good to go back over. And then there are some of you that are members of partnerships, and so you're not a partnership leader. And then there are some of you that are here by invitation to see, discover what the Lord may be saying to your church, to you, about getting involved in missions and where. And I want to say that if you're not a partnership leader, please listen in on this, because I believe that out of this group, God is going to call some of you to become partnership leaders. And I think at some point, and I really sense this very strongly, that God is going to call some of you into partnership leadership, and that we should be praying for you. And so that's going to happen this week. And so just be kind of listening to the voice of the Lord to see if that's what God is doing in your life. Partnerships, finances, you know, have always been, just by way of introduction, finances has always been part of the mission. Jesus, you know, there were people that gave to his mission. And then, unfortunately, the treasurer didn't do a good job. We all know what happened there. But I trust that we don't have any of those kinds of people in our partnerships, right? Amen. But when I first came into the Vineyard in 1992, Happy Lehman told me, you're supposed to give 2%. In addition to the 3%, you're supposed to give 2% towards missions. And give it to our partnership, because we're doing a partnership in Mexico. So I did that. We did that for a number of years. And then the Lord called me to our church to branch out and start a Puerto Rico partnership. So we started a Puerto Rico partnership about 20 years ago, and I got involved with that. That's when I began to meet some of the folks here in this room in missions, and began to learn. And let me tell you something, as an urban pastor of an urban church, at that time, the Vineyard didn't necessarily, can I be honest with you guys? Can I be frank? No? Okay. Then I'll lie to you. My favorite conference was the missions conference, because I learned so much about doing cross-cultural missions from the missiologists that were out there doing the stuff in other countries and learning ways of reaching different people. And my community, our community, was very diverse. And so that's one of the benefits of coming to this, is that for your church, you're going to pick up stuff here that you're going to be able to take back to your church and to do the work of the kingdom. So, money. Number four, overseeing the partnership budget, assuring clear and accurate financial accounting of partnership funds. We believe that it would be good if your partnership had like $7,000 in the bank to be able to handle different expenses that come along the way. For example, send your partnership leader to this meeting. It costs to come to this place, right? In addition, there are our representatives that maybe can come and you could bring them to. One of the things that our partnership did with the money we had in our account, I was able to bring other leaders, not partnership leaders, but other members of the partnership, and give them a certain amount of money to go on a missions trip. Because a lot of the churches that are part of the partnership are churches that have very low funding, they have very low budgets, and so the pastors need help. So I understand that. That's where I came from. We needed some kind of help. By the grace of God, he provided. And so so we would do that. So you want to have some money there. You want to have some money for training. You want to have some money there in case of an emergency comes up that you could do something to help. The expectation is to have each partnership church contributing an agreed upon amount. So remember I told you we started out with 2%. But I found this out, and for the we had a large church in our partnership. Well, they came to me and they said, we don't want to give you 2% of our budget, because 2% of our budget is like $25,000. And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. You know. But he said, we don't want to do that. So we may have to come out of the partnership. And I said, well, wait a minute. Hold on. And I'm a negotiator. I said, I'll tell you what. Okay, so you don't give the 2%. Would you give at least $3,000? If you're not going to give the 2%, would you give at least $3,000? So he went back, talked to the leadership, and they said, we will give the $3,000. The point is that your church should give an amount to missions that is substantive, something that shows a commitment to missions. And so, and to say that, well, just give, you know, a couple hundred dollars whenever you feel like, no, you want to be a part of this partnership. We want you contributing an amount that will help the work of the kingdom overseas or wherever it is that the Lord sends us. So we adopted that. So you either give 2% or $3,000. Now, COVID kind of messed things up a little bit, as we all know. And so we've had to kind of negotiate that a little bit more. But so let me go on to the next facility. I'm trying to hurry up because I don't want to see those numbers back there. You know, they put the fear of God in me, bro. number five. Now, you know, if I start hearing a rooster, I'm going to think I'm in Puerto Rico or Cuba or something like that. So that's not going to faze me at all, you know. Number five, facilitating partnership meetings and members to discuss and implement vision, strategy, goals, and cross-cultural awareness. We try to meet during the year. And so we adopted this thing. Okay, so every year, we will, the national conference will set up a time the day before. We'll gather together all the churches for a meeting. The partnership, because we have this money in the bank, remember, we will pay for your room if you come a day early. We'll pay for your room because we know it's going to cost any changes, but you'll come a day early, and then we'll meet during the day, and then we'll all be there for the evening session, and we go on. So that's the in that 1 year. The year that there isn't a national conference, then we adopted a thing where we'll meet in Puerto Rico, or we'll meet wherever it is that our partnership is doing work. And so that was the goal. I really firmly believe that as a partnership leader, as a leader, as a member of the partnership, you ought to visit the country that you're ministering. Don't just send people out there. You go as a leader, and there's nothing like being there, meeting the indigenous folks, meeting the local folks, getting to know them, praying with them, learning from them. And so that's what we used to do. In addition, partnerships, we meet, we try to meet quarterly. And by the way, with Zoom, there's no reason we can't do that. I meet with Dave Peterson quarterly through Zoom. And here's a brother who's all the way in South Africa. The key, by the way, is to figure out the time zone difference, because the first meeting, he said it was like 1,800 hours, or no, 1,600 hours, and I thought, oh, 1,600, so I live in Eastern, so I thought, oh, we're meeting at 4 o'clock. No, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I missed the first one. So that taught me, Ray, pay attention to the different time zones. Then we also have, I, as a partnership leader, I treat the group, the partnership, as if I was accountable to a board. Now, those of you pastors, you're accountable to somebody, hopefully, besides Jesus, but there's usually a board, right? There's usually a board. And then your job is to present to the board an accounting of the things that you're doing. So I present to, because I had a business background, I present to the board an income and expense report. And it's fairly detailed to the best that our bookkeeper can do it, but we do definitely present an income and expense. When you come into that meeting, you have the paperwork, 5 minutes. Good, okay, I can do this. You'll have, everyone will know exactly where we are, what's going on, and so you treat, as a partnership leader, the members in a respectful way, in a way that you're like accountable for the leadership that you're doing. and the monies that are being spent. Because you're the one that usually, from your church, you usually have the books or maybe another church, but you're, as a leader, you're saying, okay, write this check, write that check. So we want to make sure that we're fully accountable to the, and I think that as leaders that are treated respectfully, as leaders that are treated like, we have a good accounting of things. You know what? By the time we get into our meetings with all of the stuff that's in there, there are hardly any questions because they're explained ahead of time. So you want to send that ahead of time. Let me go on. Regularly participating in the MLM for training, support, and connection. In the early days, when I started coming to the MLM, I was a partnership leader for Puerto Rico, but I began to meet other people and met people who had been to Cuba. So I was intrigued. I said, hey, tell me what's it like, the ministry that you did in Cuba. They would share with me their stories, some of the things that they did, what they could do, what they couldn't do. But I was not working in Cuba at the time. Well, guess what? Several years later, the Lord said, okay, now I want you to start a Cuba partnership. But because I had talked to these guys ahead of time, I was already, I feel, like people like Thor that's here, I felt like I was a little bit ahead of the curve because I had already talked to some folks and the Lord had been preparing me. So these conversations that you're having around lunch and breakfast and dinner from other different people, soak them in. Be like a sponge this week. And you never know what that's going to lead in the future and how God is going to use those conversations. Let's see. Let me go on to the next. Connecting with your regional coordinator with a country update. There's going to be a census that will be sent out. And in that census, you'll give the names and the number of people that are involved in missions and what God is doing overseas. And that, in a sense, that's kind of like it's accountability, but it's also sharing what God is doing. It's not just like you have to do this. But don't we want to share what God is doing? You know, that's like part of the exciting thing. And so we fill out the census as completely as possible to share what the Lord is doing. Part of that is there any compassion, justice activity? Is it serving or self-sustaining? Any government documentation, anything that comes up that people should know about? All of these kinds of things that would be shared. And then connecting with the regional coordinator with a country update. The goal is, again, meet with the regional coordinator once or twice a year. I have here my notes. So I'm the Caribbean coordinator. So I work with Nathaniel Sorensen, Nathaniel here, and then Chris, 1 minute. Okay, Chris from the Dominican Republic. So we'll be getting together this week. We're going to sit down, get together, share what the Lord is doing. Let me just say this. The regional coordinators are here to help you, to come alongside of you, partnership leaders. Just one example, I heard that Gabriel Lindor from Haiti had been going into the Dominican Republic to work with Haitian churches. And I thought, oh, okay, God is doing something there. So it wasn't part of, per se, the Dominican partnership. So I said, but let me just go. So I paid for his way to go. I invited Josh Armstrong, who had been working with the Haitian churches for many years. Nathaniel showed up. We invited Elpidio Tavares, the Dominican leader in the country, come on up. And my time is gone. But let me just say this, that we ended up ministering in 9 Haitian churches who were scared to death of being deported, of possibly being hurt. There was a lot of tension in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. But we came in not as saviors, but as brothers and sisters who came alongside them and to bless them, to pray for them, and to be with them. So that's part of the job of the regional coordinator. They will help you, the partnership leaders, to do what it is that God is calling you to do.